And now we're joined by Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Lori.
Kevin, I spent some time with this blog post yesterday. It really impacted me. So please go online and read the entire post. This is a story that you're telling about something that happened to you in the 1970s that you have not forgotten. Tell me why you wanted to write about this, and then give us an overview.
Well, you know, I'm still working up to writing something on a personal, from a personal perspective on this whole sort of, I guess what I've referred to in here is this national reckoning on sexual harassment and abuse, and I haven't got there yet. And I'm consulting heavily with, consistently with my wife, Mary, and I was just texting back and forth with my daughter, and you don't have to have a wife or a daughter or a stepdaughter or daughters-in-law, as I do, and granddaughters, to be about this right now and be trying to be a part of this right now and to be focusing on this right now. But, you know, I've always told people that the best education that I got on women's issues came from my daughter. And a lot of dads told me the same thing. And so I've been looking at ways to express something about this, and it was, I was actually listening to public radio, as I talk about in the blog, when I heard a conversation with a victim of sexual assault, and that was kind of, it kind of brought back this moment back in the early 1970s, this incident, and it seemed relevant, and also because I think men struggle to, we say we understand, but we really don't understand, and this was an experience I had that at least gave me some degree of understanding, even on a very limited basis.
So we should tell listeners who haven't read the blog post yet, you're hitchhiking across the state in the early 1970s. You get a ride from a traveling salesman. The conversation is uncomfortable, and then he reaches out and grabs you. And it's really disturbing and an uncomfortable moment for you. You're, you know, sort of stuck in this car in South Dakota in the rain and trying to figure out what your options are.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about that much. I thought about it a lot for the weeks after and the months after, and then I told the story because I had a lot of hitchhiking stories. I mean, during that period, then some of them were funny and some of them were kind of scary. The one guy that pulled up after he picked me and another kid up, I didn't know who he was. We were at the same exit and started driving and pulled a 357 out from under the seat and waved it in the air and said, "If you guys try anything, I'll blow your heads off." And we both said, "We're not going to try anything, and we'd like to get out whenever there's another exit." And, you know, there's just all kinds of things that were a lot lighter. But that was one that, you know, really stuck with me. And, I try to make the point in this that I'm not trying to equate myself with some of the incidents and some of the crimes that women have suffered or the number of times women have to put up with these things. This was one time. I'm 66. And this is one time in my life when I was really made to feel uncomfortable by somebody sexually assaulting me. I never would have thought of it as an assault. You know, I just thought of it as that thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it's not an assault like people, you know, some women are assaulted, many women are assaulted. But I was grabbed. And also the conversation leading up to him reaching over and grabbing me in the crotch was a kind of a verbal assault, even though it was just soft-spoken. And we were going to a place I didn't want to go, and I didn't know how to stop it. You know, I'm pretty articulate, but so he grabs me, and I threw his hand off, and I pulled my little duffel up in my lap and yelled at him. And he was immediately changed. You know, he worked up to this and was working around to it, and I made him pull over, and I was going to get out. He begged me not to, and it was raining. Hadn't been raining when he picked me up, but it was then, and he said, "Don, I promise I won't bother you again," and that's when he made that comment. He said, "I'm sorry, I just saw the boots and the jeans and got turned on." And you know, please understand, this is not a gender thing I'm talking about here. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a guy and I was a guy. It was the fact that I didn't want to be grabbed. I didn't want to have that conversation when it turned that way, and I didn't want that to happen, and I didn't know how to stop it, and I couldn't stop it, and that was really unsettling.
And there's this moment here where you know you make the connection in the piece, and if you want to read the whole piece again, sdpb.org/Wooster. There's this moment when you're listening to NPR and you hear the story about this woman who says it's fairly common for victims of sexual assault to throw away the clothes that they were wearing at the time. You threw out those jeans not too long after the event, and that hit you as significant then at that moment, too, when you heard that that's a common thing for people to do, is to get rid of those jeans.
Yeah, and I called it in the piece a light bulb moment, and I have a lot of those listening to public radio, if I can put a pitch in there, but it's true. And this was a very personal light bulb moment, because I realized suddenly I threw those jeans away, and I had forgotten completely that I threw those jeans away. And it was because he had said, saw the jeans and boots and got turned on. And it was also because he had grabbed those jeans and grabbed me in those jeans. And I didn't wear them for days, and eventually I threw them out. I couldn't put them back on. And, you know, I thought that was just me overthinking something, because I do that, and me being too sensitive. And when I heard her say that, and it all came back to me, I realized, well, that was part of the process that I went back, that seems silly now, but I took that comment and the jeans and thought, what am I doing, something that sent a message to that guy that I didn't know I was sending? Did I not head him off the way I didn't want to be rude early in the conversation. I'm conversational, and he was chatty, and I like to talk to people. And then it kept going someplace, and I couldn't seem to turn it away from that place. And so I thought, did I somehow fail there and give him a message that he thought I was interested? You know, I went through that whole process, and of course,
and
then I thought...
No, you did. Like, do you know that now, Kevin? Like, no, you didn't fail? Like, now, from all those years in the past, can you tell yourself, well, no, I didn't do anything wrong?
I think so.
Okay.
You know,
I'm going to help you with that, right? No.
although I have to tell you, I went through the whole thing as much as I could remember and said, did I... I mean, even when I was writing the story and I was writing the words, I was going, did I do something wrong there? It's funny how hard it is to get that out of your head. And of course, what I said in the piece is, imagine if other people were implying that I did something wrong there.
Right, right. And I know that you're being very cautious, you know, now and in the piece, with saying you don't want to create a false equivalency with these, you know, women who've suffered,
I do not,
you know, harassment over their years. But there are some real hallmarks here to the experience that I think are very obvious. This whole notion of, you know, was I, you know, being too sensitive? Was I overthinking it? That's what people are told. You're overreacting. It was just one incident. It's not that big of a deal.
But one of the first things I thought after I'm out of danger and he's so apologetic, or I don't know if I was in danger. I mean, you know, that's the other thing. I was about his size. I was, you know, he wasn't physically imposing to me, although he was certainly emotionally imposing to me. I mean, I don't often have somebody get the edge on me that way, and it suddenly I was backing up emotionally in ways I don't usually back up. And what I thought about, what if he'd been 100 pounds bigger than I was? What if when I threw the hand off, he hadn't wanted to stop? You know, and so that just makes you go through all the things that people go through. And I keep going back to the fact that once in 66 years that happened to me. Yeah. Once. And it lasted, you know?
It lasts. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for bringing this story to us today. I really recommend everyone go on the website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Post a comment there as well. Kevin, thank you for sharing
this
with us today.